The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth in the world's greatest salmon fishery through investments in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
This is KDLG's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report for July 2nd. I'm Molly Dishner. Bristol Bay fishermen caught nearly a million fish yesterday, 919,000, boosting the season total to about 4.3 million, and catches are picking up. Nooshigak drifters are out at 3 a.m. tonight and again tomorrow during the day. Set netters extended through 9:30 p.m. Friday night. Igigik set and drift fleet each get an opener tomorrow, Ugashik drifters and set netters fishing tomorrow as well, Knack-knack Quidjack fish today, waiting for an update on their next opener. Coming up, we'll check in with Knack-knack Quidjack manager Travis Ellison about a pulse of fish in Knack-knack, take a look at Bristol Bay management with Fish and Game Commercial Fisheries Director Jeff Ragnert, and find out about smaller sockeye showing up in nets statewide. But first, our nightly rundown of the data. Out at the Port Muller test fishery, yesterday's replacement index was 39, down from the day prior. We also have some new genetics info about the fish caught at Port Muller on June 28th and 29th. Those days, about 12% of the fish were headed to Ugashik, 20% to Igigik, 10% to Knack-knack, 39% to the Quidjack, 7% to the Wood, 5% to Togiak, and to the Nooshigak, about 2%. As for the catches, yesterday was the best yet for Igigik fishermen, who landed 315,000 sockeye. Season total there, 1.7 million. Knack-knack Quidjack fishermen caught 267,000 sockeye, season total 694,000. Ugashik fishermen weren't fishing yesterday. Nooshigak fishermen caught 330,000 sockeye yesterday, bringing the season total to 1.4 million. And catches are ramping up in Togiak, where fishermen caught 7,000 fish, bringing the season total to 20,000. Looking at sockeye per delivery, Igigik 771, Knack-knack Quidjack 282, Nooshigak 401, Togiak 65. Now to the escapement counts. On the Igigik River, 38,000 sockeye were counted yesterday, bringing the season total to about 509,000. 33,000 sockeye were counted at Ugashik for a season total of 140,000. On the Quidjack, yesterday's count was 7,000 fish, season total 145,000. The Knack-knack count yesterday was 51,000, season total 290,000. The Nooshigak sonar count was 1,200 kings, season total 71,000. 22,000 reds were counted there, for a total 344,000. Yesterday's Wood River count was 68,000, bringing the total to 512,000. 14,000 more fish added by 6 a.m. this morning. At the Agushik, 15,000 fish counted yesterday, 75,000 season total, and another 6,000 added by 6 a.m. this morning. How many boats are out? Igigik, 463 permits on 378 boats. At 9 a.m. July 4th, that'll increase to 471 permits on 385 boats. Knack-knack Quidjack, 625 permits on 528 boats. After the wait, that's up to 638 permits on 538 boats. Nooshigak, 431 permits, 360 boats, no changes on the horizon. Ugashik, 117 permits on 88 boats, that'll increase 133 permits on 102 boats after the wait. Togiak, 42 permits, 42 boats, no changes. We made it! If you have feedback, want me to read more numbers, or have other tips, email me at fish@kdlg.org or call the station anytime.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Crawley, fueling Alaska for more than 60 years with a full range of residential, commercial, aviation, and marine fuel products, and supporting local fisheries offshore with Bristol Bay Floater Fueling Services. More information at crawleyfuels.com.
Yesterday we heard from Knack-knack Quidjack fishermen waiting for the fish to hit. Today I checked in with Area Manager Travis Ellison, who says he's been trying to make sure those rivers meet their escapement goals and that he's finally seeing a pulse on the knack-knack. What did you see when you were out flying today?
Oh, we surveyed the Kwajalein River. We had some pretty good test fishing indexes on the previous two tides, so we knew there were some fish in the river, went up there and counted. We got an estimate of about 195,000, basically between leave lock and the counting tower. The farthest up the fish were was about to the braid, so they still weren't to the tower yet. But the count should really be picking up as we go through today and through tomorrow. We also surveyed the Knack-Knack River and saw pretty solid fish all the way from, you know, the mouth up to the tower. And with the Knack-Knack River, it's kind of interesting with the escapement. We only had 51,000 for a total yesterday on July 1st. And this morning we had about 1,700. But by 2 o'clock today, we had almost 77,000 through the tower for the day. And that's just the kind of number I was looking for where we want to be to maintain keeping track on our escapement there in the Knack-Knack. And with the Kwajalein numbers, those numbers tell me that we're just starting to see the run pick up there. We're still very early for escapement timing for the Kwajalein River. So looks like things are heading in the right direction.
What does that mean for fishing opportunity there?
Well, hopefully we keep getting good, strong push of fish. Today is definitely the strongest push we've seen this season so far. It's hard to say exactly what's to come yet, but I do expect it to be strong for at least several more days, hopefully longer. And we'll try to keep some consistent openings going. You know, I never know what I'm going to do on the next tide till we get there. But the goal is to keep some consistent fishing going and keep getting enough fish up river for escapement.
How did fishing the night tide work out the other day?
It worked out all right. The catch was similar to the day before. You know, I had gone to the night tide, so I'd have the ability to go two a day in case the run showed up super strong yesterday. But when it was pretty slow, and escapements were really slow the 2 days before that, I decided to take a couple tides off to boost our escapements. And so we took two tides off, and it seems to have worked for both the Knack-Knack and the Kwajalein Rivers.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right, thank you, Molly.
We've been checking in with fishermen throughout the bay this week, and we keep hearing that you're waiting for bigger catches. It turns out you're not the only ones. Vojta Novak is the Bristol Bay manager for Copper River Seafoods, based at the company's new plant in Knack-Knack. He's hopeful that the big push is on its way.
Yeah, it's pretty smooth. We pump some fish and we cut them, and everything gets looking good, and it's promising for a big push of fish. We are ready for it.
Over in Togiak, Yara Connick says salmon season is slowly gaining speed at Copper River's plant there.
Yes, we're buying salmon for the last 3 weeks. I think this is the third week, maybe fourth week. And we got the three tenders, you know, around here, around Togiak and in Kulikak Bay. And yeah, we start getting some salmon. It looks like it start picking up.
Connick says the halibut catch has been winding down near Togiak, and the couple remaining halibut fishermen are just about done, most of them switching over to salmon. We've also been hearing about small sockeye from some of you and some of the district managers. Fish and Game's Chuck Brazil crunched the numbers on fish showing up in nets here in the bay.
We are seeing smaller fish than average. The normal average length for sockeye is 541 millimeters, and this year the average is 514, which is a decrease of just over 5%.
Brazil says they're smaller by weight, too.
The average weight is 5.83 pounds, and right now, what we're seeing in the commercial fishery is the average weight of about 4.87 pounds, which is 17% decrease from the average. But we're also seeing the same decreases, about 20%, across the state with sockeye weights.
Brazil says ocean conditions are likely a reason for the decline.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by Naknek Family Fisheries, 246-FISH, or on the web at naknekfish.com.
Fish and Game Commercial Fisheries Director Jeff Regner visited Bristol Bay along with Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott and Fish and Game Commissioner Sam Cotton this week. Regner stopped by the studio yesterday to talk about their visit and Bristol Bay fisheries management in general. He started his career here, managing Naknek Quidjack back in the day.
So which projects have you visited?
You know, we visited tower projects on the east side. We just spent some time up in the Anishinaabeg River at the Portage Creek Sonar Project and got to, once again, take a look at how the Ditson's being run, the portioning being done through the Gillnet Project for the different species, talking about some of the other additional projects going on in the Anishinaabeg, especially for kings with the acoustic tags and the pit tags, which is going to hopefully result in a total drainage-wide estimate of Chinook escapement, and we can compare that against the sonar, and that in the end is all around giving us a more robust program into the future to make sure we're counting Chinook accurately, establishing escapement goals accurately. That work is very exciting, and some of it we've never done before. So we're all looking forward to seeing that data.
Is that part of the Chinook Research Initiative, or how did that get started?
And it is actually part of the initiative. Part of the acoustic tag and then all of the pit tagging, which is really the mark recapture part of that project, which will give us an independent estimate of Chinook abundance, stems from those Chinook initiative dollars. In systems like Anishinaabeg, we hope to walk away here in a few years and be able to have a much better grasp of total abundance and then see if we need to refine the current in-season program, which is a sonar, and then any post-season work like escapement goals.
Okay. Switching gears a little bit, the governor signed the budget. Do you know yet how that breaks down for Fish and Game? What changes we might see in the Bay next summer?
Yeah, so we do have an additional cut because of what the legislature left with us, as far as an unallocated cut, just over $1.3 million to the department, to the division, since most of the general fund in the department is with the Division of Commercial Fisheries. We're about $850,000 less in 16 than we were prior to the end of the special session and where the legislature left it. We are going to have to find additional cuts to the tune of $850,000 for FY16, and we're working through that now. We'll have a package put together by midweek next week. I can't tell you whether or not it's going to impact the Bay. The Bay has been hit pretty substantially already with what we've done during the legislative cycle. There still might be a few tweaks here, but I don't see anything significant just because of what was done prior to this most recent revision, if you will.
And what were some of those changes during the session?
The one that always strikes me that everybody works so hard for, especially in Dillingham, is the additional dollars to count pinks and chums at the Anishinaabeg sonar. And that was an extension of that project so we could get pink numbers and coho numbers to manage more effectively. Those dollars we had to drop, i.e. cut those to the tune of, I think it was about $90,000. That means we're not going to run the project past the end of July and we won't have pink and coho counts. We'll still manage, and we'll manage based on the fisheries performance, but likely we're going to be more conservative, which means less opportunity probably, because if we're not sure, we will err on the side of the fish. The loss of those dollars, for example, comes at a cost to the fishery. The fishery might not be able to get at the resource quite as readily as it would have with that project in the water.
And going back to kind of your visit, We noticed that you were a manager here a while ago. What have you seen change since you were here?
There's been quite a few changes. The efficiency of the fleet is even greater today than it was when I was out here in the early 90s. These fishermen have gotten even better. The gear's gotten better. The boats have gotten faster, bigger, haul more. Quality of the product has taken huge leaps. Slush ice being on just about every boat, RSW, the incentives being paid by companies for the different things that fishermen can do to maintain the quality, those are taking huge strides. As far as the assessment, most of our assessment projects are very much like they were 20 years ago, with some refinements in the sonar world like Anishinaabeg, we have a much better feel in that project. Port Moeller now is an in-season assessment that includes genetics information, and that was never available when I was here. We never really knew where those fish were going that were being assessed at Port Moeller. Now we do. That has become very valuable to us as kind of a crystal ball of what's going to happen in these individual districts. So those are some of the things that I've seen. And, you know, for the most part, it's all gotten, you know, it's improved either from an assessment perspective or from a value perspective.
How is it overseeing management of Bristol Bay versus other places like the Sound or Cook Inlet?
The Bay is unique in part because of the size of it, the number of individuals participated in the fishery, and the speed in which it happens. And that's what I often miss in other fisheries is Bristol Bay speed. It's every single day. It's almost like a new fishery, and things can move so quickly, tide to tide, that you really have to. You almost have to be here to stay on top of it. And that's what I've learned in this job is I don't have an opportunity to be here very long. I need to be elsewhere at times, but I only have a real good feel for what's happening in the bay when I'm here. And it's a lot harder to be up to speed when you're not here, just because of the fast paced nature. And so. I miss that in other fisheries. There's other fisheries that are weekly periods and oriented in a different fashion because you don't need to react as quick, which there's a benefit there. But I think part of it is just being brought up in this system. It's hard not to want the same kind of daily change and, you know, newness that the Bay has every 24 hours.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Back in a moment. The Fish and Game crew weren't the only dignitaries in town yesterday. Several dozen people turned out for a public reception with Alaska Senator Dan Sullivan Wednesday afternoon. KDLG's Hannah Colton was there. Sullivan spoke on several topics, but he opened by expressing his respect for the fishermen of Bristol Bay.
Fishermen in Alaska, they're the ultimate American small business. What do I mean by that? They take risks, they work super hard, they create a great product. They oftentimes pass down their traditions and their business from family to family. And so we need to help our small businesses, our fishing industry, prosper.
One way to do that, Sullivan says, is to cut down on federal regulations that fishermen have to comply with, such as an EPA vessel discharge regulation.
Where if you're going to hose down your boat, you had to get a discharge permit. Well, Senator Rubio and I just moved out of committee. I think it's going to get voted here on the floor soon. A permanent exemption for that discharge permit for all fishing vessels in the United States.
He clarified that's for vessels 79 feet or smaller. Fishing vessels have previously had temporary exemptions from the regulation. Others in attendance wanted to remind the senator of potential threats to the fishery from private interests. Robin Cheney says she approached Sullivan to thank him for visiting Bristol Bay.
And guaranteed that we'd be knocking on his door in D.C. and continuing to share information with him about how we want our fisheries protected, about Pebble Mine, and about the health and future of our salmon stock.
Sullivan and other dignitaries toured Dillingham Wednesday before joining Senator Lisa Murkowski, Representative Don Young, and others in King Salmon for a private fundraising event. Back in a moment. In other fish news, the Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports that the state is no longer going to stock lakes with Arctic grayling because of a funding cut. According to the story, it's partially because grayling are more expensive to raise than other fish that are used to stock Alaska lakes. Earlier in the week, you heard about concerns with the king salmon quota in southeast Alaska. That was because of a dispute over the abundance index developed by a working group of the Pacific Salmon Commission. The Alaska Journal of Commerce reports that the Alaska members of the commission want to bring up their issues with the abundance index when the Pacific Salmon Treaty is renegotiated this year. And finally, KYUK in Bethel reports that the state is taking back over salmon management on the Kuskokwim River effective today. The feds have been leading management efforts there. That's it for tonight's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG. Catch us nightly at 6:30 p.m. with an early show on the weekends at 1:30 p.m. It replays nightly at 10 and 2 if you're up, or find it online. Feedback, song requests, fish@kdlg.org. I'm your host, Molly Dishner. Dave Benninger produces the show. Good night.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by AIFMA, the Alaska Independent Fishermen's Marketing Association, representing fishermen since 1966. More information at AIFMA.org.